Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life.
Welcome to episode 33 of It All Boils Down to This. I'm Jim Boyle, and as you can see, Jack has returned. His sister Amanda did a great job in his place. He's been really on fire this week with a lot of takes. So we're going to look for an interesting couple of minutes here. Hopefully, Kevin O'Donnell will join us a little bit later in the show. We don't know. We're trying.
Our new baseball expert, Kevin O'Donnell.
Right. He goes from being our college football expert. Now he's going to be our baseball expert. He's going to join. He started playing fantasy baseball with us in our league. It'll be interesting to see what his takes are on baseball and life in general, because we haven't talked to Kevin for a while. But like I said, I want to thank Amanda, my daughter, Jack's sister, filled in admirably for him. And we missed you, Jack, with your fighting Phillies kind of takes, but what the hell, he's back. We're going to start off with your favorite subject, the NCAA.
No. First off, we're going to start off with why wasn't I here last week?
We already talked about why you weren't here.
Yeah, you probably blame me for it. We did 30 minutes.
I didn't blame you.
None of it was recorded.
I told at the beginning of the show with the man, I said, I forgot we were back in the studio. I forgot to hit I did everything else and forgot to hit the record because it was on 5 weeks. So it's my fault. Jack gets all babyish, though. He goes, So let's go on to
it was
What? It was your fault?
Well, people accuse me of like never being wrong. And then it's like, oh, where do you get it from? You just go, Jack, it was my fault, but Jack was being a big baby. It's the same thing. So whatever. Let's go.
Hey, you're lucky you take after me. That's all you can say. You could take after somebody else. NCAA tournament, both men and women are into the final four. It was some great action over the weekend. Both sides, even though we didn't, men haven't done all that great. So first of all, let's just look at the men's side, because I know we're going to spend some more time on the women. UConn seems to be dominating through, and their coach, Danny Hurley, coached at URI and Wagner in high school before that.
Yeah, so let's go UConn. So this is the thing I missed last week was the Danny Hurley stuff. And the guy, it's like we got through it, but before the Sweet 16 Elite Eight was played, he was complaining about how the NCAA screwed them with like the time of the game. They were playing in Boston. It's an hour away. It's the best possible situation you could have got. And they rolled through their two games at the Garden. He just loves to whine. And then did you see what he said about transition to Purdue, which we'll also talk about, who is the other one seed in it? He's like, if Zach Edey can't play in the NBA, that's the NBA's fault. No. That's not how it works. We don't.
Right.
The NBA doesn't have to accommodate a big, slow dude who can't jump, can't run. Danny Hurley.
But back to Danny Hurley, he did admit, I think, in
great
one
coach,
of his,
though. Great coach. Great coach.
Yeah, he admitted in one of his press conferences that he is an asshole. He said, I'm an asshole sometimes.
Did he?
Maybe all that he did. He
okay.
Did.
I didn't want to hear that because that makes me like him kind of more. Like, there are people like Coach K was an asshole. Coach K would never say, I'm an asshole. Coach K was holier than thou. Something's like
right.
going crazy on this computer. Coach K would never do that. Just be an asshole. It's like Coach Calipari. If he just would lean into it, he'd be better. Because he's kind of on the edge. He's more leans into it more than Coach K does. But like if he did it, it's like I'd like that. So I kind of like him saying that.
Coach Calipari, Coach Cal is almost when he first started at UMass.
He was
like Danny Hurley is now. And again, he's got this really good basketball team. He's probably got four, maybe five NBA draft picks on his team as well. And they're good, and the rules are and everything set up for them. They had UConn North here in Boston during the weekend. They stopped. They went on a 30-0 run against Illinois. I mean, they haven't
that
really been
to make sense. The 30-0 run,
I know, especially at that level of basketball. And they're winning, and they have a chance to repeat. Now, the hardest two games they're going to play are going to be the next two. Alabama comes in. They're going to play Alabama, SEC, first time they've been in the Final Four. But both teams are go through centers. I think I was looking. Alabama's got their leading rebounder, 6'11 kid out of North Dakota. Sears is their leading scorer. They're not bad, but can they stay with what is a really good, solid UConn team? And my opinion about UConn. I hate UConn. I mean, all you UConn people, you want to listen. Man, I should tweet this, put that out, that Dad hates UConn. And all those phony UConn cheating fans can come hassle me. But I'm hoping they lose. I don't need to see them win.
Do you hate UConn or do you hate Jim Calhoun?
Well, Jim Calhoun, and he's an extension of UConn's extension. Now,
okay, one guy, it's
plus they left the AAC, but a bunch of babies.
It's 1985, or let's go, it's 1980. One of these guys is falling off of a cliff. Jim Boeheim, or Calhoun? Who are you saving? 1980.
Oh, shit. I would save Calhoun because Boeheim was an asshole back in 1980.
So you hated him more.
At that time, I did. I think that.
Well, I'm saying it stops the whole future, so you don't get one of their careers.
Oh, then I let Calhoun go because he won more national championships.
So you hate him more than you hate
Boeheim. I don't hate anybody. I do not like him.
You don't hate anybody. That's a pop up thing.
I know
you can't hate anything. Yes, you can. After 1978 when Bucky
hit the
home run, and then 79-80 when they won, and then all this for, and then the late 90s, and then Roger Clemens being an asshole. Oh no, but you don't hate the Yankees. No.
I can say this. Then one of my favorite stories is 04 game 3 when they got absolutely shellacked. Dad, my pop-up and I, my dad and I are walking out of Fenway Park, and I said to him, I was very, very depressed. And I go, I cannot believe that I gotta listen to another year of how great the effing Yankees are and the effing Yankee dynasty and curse and all that crap. And they came back and did everything. So yes, I do. Hate's a strong word, but yes. Jim Calhoun goes. Boeheim's a snivelly little guy. You know, Calhoun goes. I don't think Calhoun was ever really up, but Calhoun coached at Northeastern here in Massachusetts. Did you know that?
No.
So, and he got Kevin Ollie following him. So yeah, UConn, Alabama, it's tough to pick against you. I do not like it, but it's hard to pick against in this game against UConn because they dominated every opponent. And Alabama looks like just about every opponent they play.
Back in the coaches, didn't you say about UConn, didn't you say, so Nate Oates coached high school like 11 years ago, which is kind of crazy. Nate Oates had that horrible year last year. I know, I think they were one seed and all, but the Brandon Miller thing and how he handled that, horrible, just bad. So everyone kind of hates him, but that's a pretty crazy story that you go from a high school coach that in like 11 years. But didn't they say that, or I think you told me that he coached EC Matthews.
Right, who was Danny Hurley's first recruit.
Yeah. So, and then there's that story, like Danny Hurley says he keeps EC Matthews' headband on his desk from the night that he tore his ACL, which was, I think, it was supposed to be his junior year. When like URI was supposed to really break out and he tore his ACL and they kind of struggled a bit that year without him. He came back. They went to the tournament twice in a row, got Hurley the job at UConn. And now he's playing as high school coach who probably EC Matthews probably helped him get to the next level. So EC Matthews is responsible for this final four here.
True. And I think the story was 11 years ago, Oates was at high school. Then I guess he went to Buffalo. Then he won at Buffalo and he goes to Alabama, and then Hurley 15 so years ago was coaching high school, then he went to Wagner, then he went to URI, then UConn. So it's a nice little story about success and good coach can make success all the way.
I'd say there's a difference though. I know like Hurley's coaching high school and came from high school, but Hurley's different than this Nate, because Hurley is first off his brother, and his father is like one of the most famous high school coaches ever in New Jersey. So like that's cool. Right. I'm not like arguing with you here, but it's
true. Different.
The
totally
Nate Oates thing is cooler than the Danny Hurley story.
Right. And the Hurleys went.
You went on a great coach is like it's cool when coaches like Danny Hurley, his resume now, and he's saying, where do I rank all time? If he gets another one, he's won it. I think he's went to the tournament with Wagner.
He went to the tournament twice
with Rhode Island. How many times has Rhode Island made the tournament without a guy who's on crack on their team? Lamar Odom, Odom reference. I don't know. That's probably the only other time they made the tournament besides these.
No, they made it in 88 too with Temple.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
So he's got Rhode Island twice with Rhode Island. He could have back-to-back national championships with UConn. We're talking about one of the greatest coaches ever. We are.
Right. He's not another coach. I actually do not dislike Jay Wright. Another coach, Jay Wright. He's not even in that category yet though. Jay Wright came from Hofstra.
He did? Okay.
Yeah. So they're all from that New York area. Hofstra. So the
another thing, Danny Hurley won as many tournament games at URI as Dunphy did at Temple. Two.
Okay.
Well, that's not a, what do you mean? You're the one who rips on Dunphy all the time. Dunphy, if we're ranking coaches of like teams I root for in my lifetime, Dunphy's like fourth.
Yeah, he is.
So don't.
Well, I only rooted for one
it's
team.
True. I had to make the
Dunphy
point.
Would
it's
be true. Second. Dunphy would be second on my list.
That's
he just couldn't win the NCAA.
That's not.
He couldn't win the NCAA tournament. Dunphy so the second game, which is the team you've been tracking the whole tournament, Purdue. You picked Purdue, right? That's who you picked was the beginning. Purdue gets the Cinderella story, NC State. So there was going to be one ACC team in the tournament when NC State played Duke. Everyone thought it was going to be Duke, but NC State has just been on this unbelievable run. They won five games in the ACC tournament to win the championship, to make the tournament, and then they've now won four, and they've just been tumbling through, you know, number one, number two, number three type of teams. So that game is an interesting game because we got the real big, tall Edie, who's been pretty good. And he's slow and everybody, he's a good college center. He's going to score. And we've got him again. It's DJ Burns. I think it's DJ Burns, the big kid from NC State. So it's a classic matchup. Hopefully that is the second game of the night, not the first, but it'll be interesting to watch that. And what's your take on your boys from Purdue living up to their stature in your minds and then this NC State run?
So NC State, that's amazing. They won is it nine straight games in a very short amount of time? DJ Burns, all that. The only people rooting for Purdue in this game are Purdue fans and people who have Purdue in their brackets winning it all. Even if you have like Purdue going to the championship game, you're probably still rooting for NC State. Everyone hates Purdue. Everyone hates Zach Edey. I got Purdue. I picked Purdue. I love being right. It'd be awesome if Purdue wins the national championship. I'm not going to win my bracket pool either way, but I just want them to win. So go Purdue. That's all I have to say.
I'm rooting for Purdue too because I want UConn to see a good team. Not
all right. So you're the lone example of.
I am the lone.
You're right. I don't want NC. If UConn beats SDSU and NC State in their not two national championships.
I know. Yeah. I know. What are you going to do?
Oh yeah, it's want Purdue.
Uncle Joe was telling me a story that Rick Majerus took Utah to the final game, I think against Kentucky. Kentucky beat them. And he knew some of the people on the staff. And he said they made a great run in the tournament. And that championship game, they just ran out of gas. They were just done. Mentally, physically fried. So that's why I hope, listen, it'd be great to see Danny Hurley have to really defend a real center in real time. Not that DJ Burns is not. But it sets up a better matchup for men's basketball. And again, we're gonna switch to the female side in a second. But it's a coaches driven world in college basketball, especially on the men's side. You know, so if you know all the coaches, everybody knows every coach except for this North Carolina State coach. I don't even remember his name anymore. He was gonna get fired. But it's Hurley, and we talk about. Oates, and we talk about Matt Painter, who everybody thinks is a choke. So I like to see I think UConn Purdue in the final. I will root hard for Purdue to win that championship because again, they've never won. No, they haven't won in a long time. They might have won back in the 40s. Who knows? They were making engineers forever. So I like that side, and I hope to get some good games. And I don't think the UConn hasn't been challenged in 2 years of the tournament. So hopefully they got a good game. Purdue, UConn, we'll see what happens. I think that's who you'd like as well.
Yeah, I'll go Purdue. Obviously, I don't change my mind. I don't.
No, I have to change my mind.
I understand because you're wrong. But the Chiefs, I don't change my mind. Look, I picked the Celtics to win the championship. The Celtics lose in like the Eastern Conference Finals. I ain't picking the finals. I'm not. I'm picking the Celtics.
You got to pick. Hey, you got to put your money down there.
I've always been right on this podcast, though. Except I did.
No, you have always been right.
I did pick Alabama to beat Michigan. That's like my big wrong one.
Oh, that's wrong.
Forget all right. So, who cares about the men? The men suck. We talked way too much about the men when the women were the
women's side, which really went a lot, really much to chalk, except for UConn, right?
Yeah.
And North Carolina State, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. NC's the other thing, North Carolina State and UConn both have two teams in.
I hate to say it, who cares? Look, South Carolina, cool. No, it kind of had a couple two close games, 3-16 Elite Eight. Not really. It got close a little bit. Who cares? We'll wait till the championship. That's when we talk about them. They're a great team. UConn, great win that beaten USC, Juju Walker.
Paige Beckers.
They had a good game plan for her. Paige Becker's great player. But the only thing we're talking about right now.
Everybody's watching.
The only thing we're talking about is that LSU Iowa game. And like, okay, it's very like rare where you get something where, oh, two pitch, 1 second. All right. It's very rare.
It's a
where
fantasy you, league, and it's first week. It's, do the podcast.
It's very rare. It's very rare when you get something that hyped up and it lives up to it.
Correct. Very rare.
And Caitlin Clark, it's almost like the thing that I would like compare it. This is going to be a crazy comparison. What it reminds me of, and I was alive for this. I don't remember it. But in terms of a hyped up thing where it's like there are crazy expectations on it, everybody's watching. Maybe not everybody's watching this first thing I'm going to mention, but it's like in the player who the expectations were out of the world for, best ever, best I've ever seen. And they totally outperformed the expectations. It was this game. It was this game that she just had against LSU, and it was LeBron's high school game that they did on ESPN. It's right, it reminds me. It's like the same thing where they just exploded, and it's just it takes. Caitlin Clark went from all the way up here to another level with that performance.
Right into the stratosphere. Amazing. I agree. And the game was a competitive game. They were tied up at the halftime. Both games were tied up at halftime. And they came back and totally dominated LSU. And LSU, we can talk about. Angel Reese actually played really well, and I think they lost her a little bit. Her scoring skill set is really in the paint because of her size. She's not a shooter. But we can talk about all that. And you know, somehow they lost Caitlin Clark in the third quarter. And I don't know how you can lose Caitlin Clark in the third quarter. She's going to beat you if you lose her, and she did. And I mean, her skill set is phenomenal. She got great handles. She got great court vision, and all that. So that was great. But what was your take on our good friend Kim Mulkey there?
Horrible coaching. So like you said, uninformed about Purdue. You got to stop eating. You make everyone else beat you. And everyone else on Purdue hits all these threes. You were exposed for being wrong at that.
Oh, bullshit. Like, you got to stop eating.
But with Iowa, you have to stop Clark. And this isn't me saying her teammates are bad because they're – and everyone's saying this online, like she has some good teammates, but you have to make them beat you. I would almost just play, like I would double her all and just live with it and see what happens. Double her and live with it. You have to. You have to.
Right. You got to and avoid, you got to get the ball out of her hands. And again, you also, it's just like in the Super Bowl, I'm going to use the Super Bowl reference, where McCaffrey is the best player on this team, was lost in the third quarter. Angel Reese was lost in the third quarter. She didn't touch the ball. And I know she walked off the court. Now, give me the effing ball, she said. Get me the ball, she told her coach. And for some reason, it's just, this happens on good teams anyway. Every once in a while, they lose their focus and they start doing things they normally wouldn't do. And I give credit to Iowa. And listen, Caitlin Clark has lived up to every expectation that I would have had for her. And God bless her. She's the biggest name in college basketball, bar none. Zach Edey, the biggest guy. Excuse me?
Biggest name in college sports.
Right now, correct. That's correct. But there's some great players, like Juju Watkins. Well,
behind J.J. McCarthy. But
oh, yeah, we'll get to that later. Juju Watkins was entertaining to watch. The South Carolina team with Cardozo as their center is really fun to watch. And they play good basketball. And like I said, I love their coach anyways. So I'm biased. Paige Beckers, again, she was Caitlin Clark before she got hurt. And now Caitlin Clark is – well, that'll be a great matchup in the semifinal game. I think that might even be better than the Angel Reese matchup. So, and again, Angel Reese is Angel Reese, and things get said. And they were very complimentary of Caitlin Clark at the end, you know. And I think that, you know, when you're competing, you get a little bullshitty and you start pounding each other out. And I knew though that Angel Reese made a little bit of an excuse at the end of the game. And I know people are pissed off at her because of you know, what you have done that if you had won. So things they learn. Look, they're 22 years old. Yeah. Though.
Angel Reese was fine in that game, all that. And it's just that we don't have to talk about Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark anymore and the stupid like race thing that it was. It's like, again, I hated Angel Reese because she was an a-hole. People hated Christian Laettner because he was an a-hole.
Yes.
People hated Bill Laimbeer because he was an a-hole. You know, it doesn't – if you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole. I hate Draymond Green because he's an a-hole. It has nothing to do with race. We're treating – like,
I agree with you.
She was a villain. She was. She played the role. Am I not supposed to hate that? If someone does that in the NBA, plays the villain role, I hate them. And yeah. You're not supposed to hate anyone. I hate them. I'm trying to think of like who really
the
plays
villain
the
role.
Villain role in sports against like my team right now. There's not many. Like, you know who I hated? And he didn't even play the villain role. You're not even gonna name. The dude who Joe Kelly hit, who slammed down, I don't even know his name. I hate him. I don't even know him. I hate him. You play the villain role. You do stuff against the teams I'm rooting for. I'm not going to like you. That's the way it is. Now, I hate you in like a sports sense. I don't know you as a person. I don't hate you as a person.
Correct.
But I hate you. I see you on TV.
What sports is, though. I agree with you. That's what sports is.
But it's here's the thing that gets me. Like, Draymond Green, I'm 100% sure he's a great father in his community. He's a great guy. I hate his attitude.
On a basketball court.
But when you criticize him about what he does on a basketball court, he gets mad at you. Like, you're criticizing his manhood and how good of a person and a man he is. I'm not doing that. You're kicking guys on the nuts on the court.
But he's a grown man. He's a professional athlete. I think at some point, and probably age races too, but she's still a young woman, not old. She's still in her, and she was. She portrayed that rascally villain kind of thing, but when all of a sudden now you're the villain, now you and I can separate the competition, the event from life, but I don't know if everybody else can. So now all of a sudden here, this Andrew's the villain. So that's not a good thing or a bad thing.
Let me just say the race. There are people who hate Andrew Reese because of race. There are races.
Right. Everyone.
There are. So, I'm just saying there are a lot of people who hate Angel Reese and they're not racist.
I understand what you're saying. So, I'm still
rooting for Dawn Staley. Obviously, they're bad eggs. It's America. They're bad eggs everywhere.
I'm still rooting Dawn Staley to win. So, I'll take South Carolina.
That's the other thing. We now get UConn versus Iowa. She wants to go play her childhood school that she always wanted to play for. Geno didn't recruit her because he already had Paige Buchers and he didn't want to bring in Caitlin Clark to be a backup, even though I don't know why they couldn't play together. And then if she wins that, we get the rematch of last year, South Carolina going for an undefeated season. Dawn Staley, the biggest coach in the sport, versus Caitlin Clark, the biggest basketball player of all time. Now, I won't say best. I think she's the best I've ever seen, but she is the biggest women's basketball player ever. Look at the race.
She has changed the way people are watching women's basketball. Yes. And hopefully it translates. There are some really good women's basketball players now. The game has changed. Why do you think that that is more the women's game right now is more popular other than Caitlin Clark? Is it because they play it the way normal people would play? They're not playing above the rim. They're playing fundamentally sound. They make shots. They have to play defense. What do you think? Why? Is it just because of her? Or is it because people are finally realizing it's not a bad basketball?
No, let's see it. Let's see next year. Let's see it go. Let's see it. I'm not counting it out. I mean, Juju Watkins, she's still a star and all that. And there's teams are going to be good. But let's see it next year without Caitlin Clark.
One last point before we move on to the next piece on college.
Yeah, we got to go because Kevin wants to get in here soon.
So okay, tell we're almost ready. We're ready for him in 5 minutes. Still.
Yeah.
But one other thing is that and I lost my train of thought on college hoop. But again, is it NIL will change the way people see the women players because they'll be on commercials. All of a sudden these kids are all over the place. So now you get the attention and the young and 50% of the population is women. Before we bring Kevin on, because we're really ready to go, I want to bring this up because I heard all this baloney about UConn would be a playing team in the NBA. That is a bunch of goddamn crap. UConn would be a 50-point underdog to the worst team in the NBA.
That was Mike Greenberg, and the Wizards just beat – who are the worst team in the league, I think. The Wizards just beat the Bucks last
week. Bucks.
So, right. Come on. It's the NBA.
Because you would say – I don't know who was. Maybe it was somebody –
Everyone's got talent in the NBA. Everyone's got talent.
Everyone has talent, and that's their job. That's what they do. They do it all the time. Of course, that's their job in college. So I just want to throw that out there because it was aggravating me. On that space, so we'll bring in Next week, we're going to do our Masters preview because there's a lot going on with Liv. Maybe at the end.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about golf now. No. These Liv guys, it's like they started the fire, and now they're going, let's put out the, like, we, you guys have
no, to. No, you need to put the fire out that we started.
We started the fire, you put it out. And they're getting all mad because it's not getting put out.
And there's only one thing the general sporting population hates more than rich guys bitching about money and viewership and crap. I don't know what it is, but just one thing. It's probably Saudi Arabia. So you don't want to hear, you know, John Rahm and Phil, shut the hell up and play golf. You chose your lot. You're done. You know what?
Because they're in the news recently. People hate ISIS more.
Okay, ISIS. There you go. There you go. ISIS more. Perfect. If Kevin wants to join, I don't see him in my – he's not in the waiting room.
Yeah, what do you mean waiting room? I told him I'd tell you when to join. Golf, I'm pumped for the Masters.
I am too.
Justin Thomas got rid of
Bones.
So everyone's saying Rory has to go get him. Like, he's a caddy free agent. It's like Kevin Durant's on the free agent market. The
best. Rory's keeping his caddy. Don't worry.
So I was thinking about this. I just told him to join, so he could join any minute. I was thinking about this. In this like generation of golfers, the only guy to really not throw his caddy under the bus during like bad times is Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Same guy forever.
And they've got a great relationship too, as well.
But Spieth had all the opportunity in the world to get rid of him.
Oh, yeah, on that 12th hole. Yeah, 12th hole on a Sunday.
No, not that. I'm saying.
Drop it in the drink.
No, it like the years of like 2018 to like, or like the years of like 2019 to 2020.
Last 10 years. Last 5 years, right? Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I don't see Kevin yet. So
He said okay, should be joining. Now, maybe for talking about baseball. So let's start talking. He'll get him. We'll be talking about baseball. We'll Red Sox. Red Sox are 5-2. I got my Red Sox hat on. Let's go.
Jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, they played Oakland and they're pitching really good right now. Once they get hurt, once one of their pitchers gets hurt, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think the one thing I like about it right now is again they're throwing strikes. You know. Last 3 or 4 years, they nibble on the corners. They do this. They try just throw the goddamn strike. You got the great center fielder, Rafael. You got Trevor Story, even though he can't hit for crap, he's going to strike all. He at least can play defense at shortstop, right? So you do have some pretty good defenders behind you. Just throw strikes. Oakland's not going to beat you if you throw strikes. No, here he is. Kevin has arrived.
Oakland. So we talk about the best college team. Is he coming in?
He's coming. They might beat Oakland.
Oakland.
But you and I. I'm gonna bring him in, and we're making the
just
point.
Bring him in. What are we waiting for? Let's go.
I don't want to see his ugly mug.
Just go. Here let's go. What are you talking about?
I
don't
know where he is. I just admitted him. Where? Do you see him? No, hey, tell me he's got to put his camera on.
I don't see him.
I see him. Kevin, you got to put on your camera.
Whatever. Oakland's the worst team I ever seen. We're having technical difficulties, obviously, because
I got Kevin. You can probably see Kevin's name. Hey, there he is.
You guys are yelling at me like I just joined. Like I was waiting for you.
Well, yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, that's how.
No, I mean, well, like, I'm about to get abused, and then I get abused right as I join. I mean, this is crazy.
Hey, we love you. Hey, welcome back to the show, Kevin. It's been a while.
So it's an honor.
You are our baseball expert now, right?
Yeah, I'm sure Jack talked about it. I am locked in. I don't know what Corbin Burns has done in the past like hour or so, but I was pissed leaving.
You know what happened is they took him out after 5 2/3. You lost the 3 points for quality start.
Is that true?
No, he's not lying. He's 200 pitches. He's complete. This kid. So we were talking about who's like been the second best pitcher in baseball the last 5 years. It's Corbin Burns. He's complete. Why did I keep Corbin Burns? He got 32 points the first game. He went like 10 strikeouts, 6 innings.
I will say, I woke up this morning and I was like super excited because I checked my team and I saw that Corbin was pitching and I was like, oh my God, another 30 points to.
You're not going to get 30 every week though, Kev.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
The way it goes. Well, I mean,
I was lowest in scoring last week and I had like a conversation with myself in the mirror. You know how like when Tebow lost, like, and he was like, you'll never see somebody work harder to like get back to this point. I'm like, I am never going to be in last place in points scored for a week. I'll
probably lose again and be in last place after this.
I think I am in last place this week.
Hey, I have one question for you. Who was in first place in scoring?
I'm assuming it was you.
It was me. Definitely.
All right, enough fans. We have to because Kevin's like new, he's like learned about all these baseball players. He's obsessed with like who are your young guys you like right now? You're obsessed with these like Kevin's like under 25, like 25 under 25.
I like this.
That's what he's into.
Yeah, you guys were calling me Leonardo DiCaprio last night because I like all the players that are 25 and under.
Yeah.
No, Jack and Chris. Jackson Chorio, I hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He's been going off as the leadoff hitter for the Brewers. Gunnar Henderson, thank God I kept him instead of Lindor. Who else? All my pitchers, I just drafted like all guys under like 27, 26. And I can't help myself because it's like one of those things where I love the young guys. I love the prospects, but I know that that's not good for winning now. And I can only keep five players. So,
right. You know what? It's funny that Chirino and Henderson, rookie of the year, Chirino's, he was on my list and you snuck him in about two picks before. You probably picked him two picks earlier than I would have picked him. So therefore I lost him. But the young guys are important. In fantasy, I did not draft Acuna. I did not draft Betts. I did not draft Witt. I might have drafted Witt. So those guys were all picked like in April or May, and you picked them earlier. I waited till May till they were going to come up. There's a lot of guys out there, so it's a great way to watch it. It's a great way to do it. You got Aaron Judge, who I think is the most overrated player in baseball, even though he hit a home run today. So that's the way to build it. That's
62 home runs is terrible. That's so
2 years ago. 2 years just hurt. He hurt himself. He's a all big right. baby. They're all babies in New York, big babies. I'm looking over your team right now, Kevin. Hold on. Frank, can I ask a question? What is Frank Lampard?
No. He's an internet personality.
Yeah, he's Frank? he's like a big time Mets fan. Yeah, I'll show you some videos. He's like
I don't need videos of Mets fans.
Oh, he's the best.
I'm just kidding. So yeah, well, it's been. Let me look. You got Gunnar Henderson. You did it, but you got J-Rod, Jazz Chisholm. Ugh, almost threw up on that one. Trevor Story. He's a great player. We just talked about Trevor Story. Great defensive player. Strikes out all the time.
Who was saying it? Pavetta was complimenting his defense. I think
I compliment his defense today too because I think up the middle they're really good. Jack,
Trevor Story. You're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're paying like $180 million for a good shortstop. We could have just got Stephen Drew. What do we pay him? Ten?
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Trevor Story.
So Kevin, what's it first weekend? What are your observations in playing against some of the smarter baseball fantasy managers?
I did notice that you guys load up on pitching, and just got like I was obsessed with. Just all these position players that are under 25. And then I was like, oh geez, like I gotta get some more relievers. I gotta like starting pitching matters so much. Gotta make sure you get your 9 starts a week. So I'm kind of mapping that all out, like going day by day, predicting everything in terms of who's starting and everything. So I've learned a lesson there. So that's kind of like my main thing is transitioning over into getting a bunch of arms.
Yeah. You look like you have pretty good balance. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have about 8 starting pitchers and 5 relief pitchers. Not a bad balance.
Yo, can you share the link right now or no?
What link?
Can you share the link of this? Could you share the Zoom link to J-Trev?
Yeah, I'm sure I can, but you make me have to work.
You know, J-Trev is like heartbroken.
I know.
Not
I know. We'll talk. We'll get J-Trev in, and he'll get us going with the NFL draft because I know Kevin wants to talk about that. Baseball, real quick, Deb, while you're doing that, Kevin.
No, I need J-Trev's email address.
Oh, geez. He'll respond.
Jack, you sent me the link.
Yeah, I did?
I did.
Oh, you did.
So you bet Red Sox, Kevin. Who's your favorite Red Sox player?
Trevor Story. I need him to get going. He's like a guy I'm going to get way too attached to. Like last night I was up until like 1:45 watching the Sox go to extras. And like, I forgot that like they start on second base. Like that's how long I've been out of baseball, which has been like a decade.
All right.
But,
watch this.
My real guy is the center fielder. I can't pronounce his name. Rafaela. I love him.
No, Kevin, who name your like 3 favorite baseball players from the 2010s?
Evan Longoria, Troy Tulowitzki.
So there it is, right there. He loves the Colorado shortstops. I knew he's gonna say those two he just listed. I knew he's gonna say those. I'd like to know the third. Trevor Story's like that. He came after Troy Tulowitzki as the Colorado shortstop, and then he sucked at the next place he went, Boston and Toronto.
I'm trying to think of a third guy.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't know. Probably I like Trout.
You have to have like another defensive third baseman or something that you like.
I know.
Arenado.
Emulate your game after.
Maybe Jack, like did you get me his email address yet?
Yeah, he didn't respond. I'd love to talk to him about what he thinks of the quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm draft. Ready to go when he's ready.
I think it's James. How do you not have it saved? You know what? You talk with Kevin. I'm going to – wait, MVP picks, both leagues, real quick, because I have something I have to do.
I'm not qualified for that. I'm not.
MVP for the major leagues?
I'll go first. You go first.
I got Mookie all the way.
Yep.
Mookie right now. He'll slow down a little bit, but Mookie all the way. And the American League, wide open, but you got to like Aaron Judge. I'm kidding. I wouldn't be shocked if Gunnar Henderson has a big year, could make it. I wouldn't be shocked if Mike Trout has a big year, could make it. I wouldn't be shocked if it's hard.
You picking five rivalries again. Pick a player.
Yeah, I gotta think of it. It's wide open. You
pick Mike Trout. Just say Mike Trout.
I'll take Mike Trout.
How you can't just name a player? All right. So the American League MVP is going to be Kyle Tucker, and the National League. Wait. The National League MVP is
Mookie Betts. Oh my god. Yeah. He's been waiting all day, Kevin. He's been waiting the whole show to do that.
You know what?
This is what I have to deal with.
Mookie World Series jersey.
Yeah, Mookie's the man. Mookie's on my team. Yeah, I think so. What about
Bobby Witt?
Yeah. Oh, he's on my team too.
Jay Trev's not around right now, unfortunately. All right. So we haven't talked about the NFL in a while. Stephon Diggs got traded today. He's a loser. But we have to talk about the draft, and we have to talk about the third pick because I know Kevin has a lot of opinions on this.
No, I can't wait to hear these.
Kevin, what quarterback do you want?
I'm anybody but JJ right now. Like, I'm going to show up in front of Gillette, like, if they draft JJ. To take a guy that takes pride in brushing his teeth with his left hand, like, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't think the guy has ever thrown for over 100 yards in his life. I understand that he was a five-star quarterback, so wasn't like Kyle McCord, who stinks. Anybody but JJ.
Drew Allard.
Zach
Drew Aller is maybe the worst player.
The kid on Nebraska. Remember the kid on Nebraska against Colorado?
Sims.
He was so bad. He couldn't even like catch the ball on the snap.
So you're going to boycott JJ McCarthy. What do you?
Yeah.
I think my problem with it is, Kevin, you can answer me. If three quarterbacks go right in a row, it's a crapshoot after the first guy. It's no matter who you take, it's a crapshoot. And if you trade down, it's a crapshoot with Bo Nix and Penix and whoever, and J.J. McCarthy, whoever's deep. I am not a big – listen, you can replay this if he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Drake May is not my guy at all. So I just think it's going to be a problem for them. That's all. Where would you go? Where would you go?
I'm still at anybody but J.J. But, like, the other thing is with Drake, though, like, I just think of Mitch Trubisky, and that's just, like, biased towards, like, quarterback same school. But like, I wouldn't hate it if they traded down, took like one of the like neighbors or Odunze, all like one of those guys, like, cause you need those positions anyway. And then take like even the guy from South Carolina, like take him, like, or just do something like take Bo Nix, take Penix. Like, I'm fine with not getting the franchise quarterback. Like, don't force it. You know, I mean, they kind of are forcing it when they sign Brissett though, because he's not good enough to play for a whole. So that's a huge issue. Like, they didn't get a good enough quarterback in that position to be competitive.
What was your opinion on that? And Fields going for like a sixth or a fourth round pick. Was that someplace they should have looked?
I thought that was a great deal for the Steelers. Like, yeah. Russell Wilson looks like an absolute clown posting videos, like with these like outrageous sunglasses. And I would have already released him by now after getting them. Like, he's on a minimum. He's all about himself, Russell Wilson. I would just play Fields the whole year. I mean, that was crazy. I have Steelers fans, friends, and they're like, they can't believe what Russell Wilson is posting out on social media. But yeah, I mean, but the Bears did good by Justin Fields though. Like, that's what everybody was saying. Like, they could have gotten like a better return for him, but they didn't go for it. So yeah, I mean, if I was the Patriots, I would have tested him out for a year. Why not? But then you have to get a contract.
Jack.
Kevin would make Jerry Jones look like if he were an owner, Kevin would make Jerry Jones look like the least hands-on owner of all time. Kevin would be the most like hands-on owner ever. He'd see like a guy post something on Instagram. He'd tell the coach to cut him.
Yeah, like Diggs, who like throws temper tantrums on the sidelines when he has Josh Allen as a quarterback. Like, that's an instant no from me. Like, he, like that guy's crazy.
Good luck. Yeah, what don't you mean crazy?
Mac Jones, when he got carried off the field and he was making the crybaby face.
How about throwing tantrum on the sidelines? Didn't Tom Brady spend a career throwing tantrum on the sidelines?
Well, yeah, when you win seven rings, it's a bit different. Oh, like okay. Stephon Diggs in this playoffs, he missed a wide open catch, right?
Yeah. That would they probably would have won the game.
Just talking about Diggs. I saw an article where they were comparing May to he's like Josh Allen.
I'm good with that then.
Like, he's not gonna be Josh Allen.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I love Daniels. Like, watching Daniels last year was awesome. But, I mean, J-Trev, I'll give J-Trev credit. He had Daniels as QB3, like, back in October. Like, very early, before anybody did.
Yeah, he had McCarthy. He had JJ as QB1, though. If you remember our podcast back in October.
No, he didn't have him as QB1. He had him as QB something. He had him as a first-round QB.
It was like going to the Raiders at 18, and I, like, lost my mind then.
I thought he had him really early, though. We're going to go back and find that. I swear to God, J.J. McCarthy was the best quarterback in the draft.
You take him in the seventh round if he was there.
J.J. McCarthy.
I would take him in the third round if he was there.
That means he's worth I'm just thinking, Mac Jones got traded for a sixth rounder.
hey,
I might do it. I might take J.J. as a seventh rounder. I'll admit it. But, like, anything, like, above the fourth round, absolutely not.
He's so going to be, like, the draft.
So you think though, is it smart to pass up those two receivers that are really out there that are NFL ready?
In place of taking like a Drake May?
Let's say they go and say they get the third pick. Nobody wants to trade down, although the Vikings probably would eat you up. And you now have if you liked Daniels and he's gone at 2. Or you like May and he's gone at 2. Now you're at 3. And do you pass up Harrison's an NFL ready receiver? No doubt about it. Something that the Patriots have not had that type of talent in 14 years, right? They've had great slot guys. Do you pass
Antonio
up,
Brown?
Yeah, get out of town.
Josh Gordon?
They don't count. They sucked when they were here. Do you pass up that type of talent and go for the quarterback because that's what you need? That's the question.
Only if you love him. You have to take your guy. Like, if you're just taking the consensus best available on who's, like, all the NFL experts, like, don't, like, you gotta love your guy and take him. If not, you trade down.
But I wouldn't be shocked if they trade down.
Well, they say Elliott Wolf loves J.J. McCarthy. So, if he loves his guy, you gotta take him.
Yeah, do you love Elliott Wolf, though? Like, and I'll say this. Like, I love Robert Kraft. You know what I mean? Like, 6 rings, all that stuff. Six months here with everything going on, or really just the dynasty, which is maybe the worst production. Like,
so I was gonna ask you that question. Yeah.
Doesn't do Bill Belichick any justice. Like, that was unbelievable. And then he was like out doing like whatever, like what was it, the owners meeting and stuff like that, backtracking comments saying he was disappointed. And it's like it's a Kraft production. Like it has it in the credits or whatever.
It's like the developers who started the fire. Like it was you.
Jack, I don't have to go down. That was on my list. What did Kevin think of the dynasty? Now we actually know, right? The true Patriot fan did not like that show.
No.
Right?
No.
It was sort of like, they won 6 goddamn Super Bowls. Somebody was doing something right here. It can't just be Tom Brady was the greatest. Something was going right here. And the owner just wants credit. Bob Kraft, I'm done with. You know what?
Aaron Hernandez should have not gotten more than 10 minutes of screen time. There's so much stuff that should have been covered. And like even guy like Slater went on Edelman's podcast and was like, we were there for hours and hours and they took just all the worst clips, made Bill look horrible. And everybody felt hard done by. Like everybody flew out to New York or whatever to take a bunch of time out of their days' lives to do it. And like it totally made the Patriots look, I don't know. I mean, they still talked about the success and like they talked about Belichick being like a defensive mastermind in the last Rams Super Bowl. But besides that, they basically said he was responsible for like Aaron Hernandez murdering people. Like,
I know. So you guys are both young, too young to remember the first 3, right? Because you don't remember this. Yeah. I heard I did not watch it because I was told it sucked and I'm not going to waste my time watching Bob Kraft shit. They just glossed over like the second 2, right?
Yeah.
I still think those were the best Patriot teams of the dynasty. Those three.
That's fair. Like my dad talks about them. You know what I mean? Like he went to the 03 Super Bowl when they beat Carolina. But I was actually happy that they gave Bledsoe like a lot of screen time on it, because that was cool. It's something I didn't know a lot about. I would say the first few episodes were actually pretty good overall.
Okay.
Before they got to Hernandez, and then they started like going after Kraft and everything. I mean, Belichick.
Before Brady got Nego in his career.
When you're Tom Brady, you can have as big of an ego.
No, I know, but that's like the
turning point. Oh, my God, you're Tom Brady second.
The whole Bill Belichick thing with the owner and all that, like once Tom started annoyed and started to get bigger than Bill Belichick. That's honestly, it's true. Brady's great. I love Brady.
Okay, Brady's great. Jack loves Brady. So that's the Patriots. That's the Patriots of the draft.
We got one more thing, though, before we let Kevin go. Look at how good that lettering.
Hey, that isn't a Fanatics production.
Look at that.
I hear you're a big
majestic.
Are you a stockholder in Fanatics?
No, but that's another buddy of Kraft's, Michael Rubin, who I don't know. He must have done some Ponzi scheme or something to be able to get the rights to all these major sports leagues to be the provider of this clothing and all this stuff. It's embarrassing. Guys are like sweating through their jerseys in the MLB. Like all the NHL guys are complaining about the gear. It's ridiculous. I don't know how this guy does it.
It's like, not his
why
fault.
Don't you just do Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, whatever. Instead,
well,
we go
Nike. Those are Nike shirts.
All white parties.
Those are Nike shirts, by the way. What they're wearing on the field are Nike shirts. You do know that, right? Yeah.
I thought it was Fanatics.
Fanatics is the person who owns the rights. They subbed it out. Nike. I wish I had a picture.
Michael Rubin's responsible because he was saying stuff.
Like, he's responsible. I agree with you on that. But it's a Nike shirt. It's a Nike shirt.
I was getting nervous that I just looked like an absolute clown.
No, you didn't. Fanatics owns the. It's like when Rawlings had the process. Rawlings on the process. They were subbing it out to Majestic. So. Fanatics owns it. Fanatics is the supplier of uniforms, we'll call that. But yep. Not, they those see-through shits are Nike shirts, by the way. I think they're – yeah, Nike has still that, but Nike right there.
All right, so we have one Michael Rubin fan here.
No, I'm not a Michael Rubin fan. I don't care. Fanatics screwed Topps baseball cards, so screw them too. I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
They bought like everything up.
They did.
They Ponzi scheme. We should go after them, Kevin. Ponzi scheme.
I actually did like a story for another time, but like my boss is obsessed with sports cards, and so I was just like for my job, like finding a bunch of sports cards companies and just finding out that they all got bought out by Fanatics. But anyway,
yes, they did. And I
you're selling some cards. Yeah.
What do you want? Does he need any Schmidt rookies?
I can ask him.
Do you know why the Schmidt rookie is so valuable?
No. Is that like what's that one card? Wagner? That's like
Hannes Wagner's the only one, and Mickey Mantle. But what the reason the Schmidt cards, those cards are valuable now, because the Topps used to go out in three series. The first series would come out beginning of spring training, then one would come out end of spring training, and another would come out middle of April with more of the younger players. So when I was 10 years old or whatever it was when they came out, you'd go to the store and you'd buy your cart, your packs, and your gum and shit, you'd do all that stuff. But by the time April rolled around, you'd already bought all and spent all your money on your cards. And those cards were not those weren't sold as much. So again, the law of supply and demand, there's 50 Mike Schmidt rookie cards out there, and there's 100 Hank Aaron number one cards out there. So more people have those. See if your boss knows that. See, go to your boss and sound smart. How do you do that?
I'll ask him.
I think he knows that. That's the story. The Mickey Mantle Topps card. That's why it's the most rare Topps card, because it was like 1950 whatever, and it was the third series, and there's not many.
So I just wonder what's his most valuable card. That'd be cool.
Did Jack rant about like how Arsenal, Man City?
No, we haven't done that.
We didn't get there.
Because your son has never sniffed a title race in his life, and he's just jealous that he's not in my position. Like that's what it comes down to. And we were the away team. We were the away team, and we did what we needed to do.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay, whoa. He just said we did what we needed to do. You did not do what you needed to do. You needed to win that game. I said,
we needed to not lose.
Hold up. From September, I said Arsenal would win the league. From September, I said it. You haven't said it once. I've said it since September. Now, today, Arsenal's not winning the league. They're not. They're not going to win the league because of how they performed in that game. They should have went for it, and they didn't.
We already beat them.
City were vulnerable. City aren't that good.
We lost 4-1 to City when we
you're a different team.
Last year. We got the game was over in 30 minutes. We couldn't afford different that to happen.
Can I say something about that game?
Yeah. Did you watch?
No.
Why would I watch a nothing
game? That game was the worst game of the year.
What do you have to say about it then?
They set soccer back like 20 years with that bullshit performance. Why are you going playing for a tie? Why? You're going to be the champions. You got to win.
So you don't lose. Huh? So you don't lose.
Oh, bullshit. Then be a champion.
We're playing away. They just won the treble.
You guys are just like Japan and Norway in girls soccer. Just like
Kevin, if you had won that game, you could have got a guard of honor at Old Trafford.
So, Kevin, who's going to win real quick? Who's going to win? Liverpool, Man City, or Arsenal?
Who's going to win?
He's going to say Man City. He's going to say Liverpool.
No,
we're beating them on Sunday.
I think Klopp has done an incredible job with Liverpool this year. It would be his best accomplishment yet to win the Premier League with this team that he currently has. I think City are going to win it.
So if Klopp wins with Liverpool and the Red Sox make the playoffs, is John Henry a smart man?
And the Red Sox make the playoffs?
Is John Henry a smart man?
Only if he goes all out next winter.
Oh, so fair enough.
Reload.
No, it's what
John Henry's really been throwing money at managers. They haven't gotten rejected by anyone.
So you like Man City? I like Liverpool. Jack likes Arsenal.
Okay. No, he doesn't.
No, I like Man City now. But
Man City now.
Yeah,
that's good.
No one said.
What can we look forward for fantasy with you? What's your thought process? You talked about looking at load up pitchers. Are you doing actual analytics on this, or are you just reading what you read? I'm just curious.
I'm reading what I'm reading. I'm not doing any analytics. You know, maybe like, you know, give me some time. Like I'm first, second week. I gotta get my, like Chris was trying to like get J-Rod off me like immediately. I said, Chris, like I can't be making trades already. Like I need to.
What did he offer for J-Rod?
What?
If he didn't offer Spencer Strider, you don't do it.
What did he offer?
He teased Strider, and he also teased Harris, Luis Robert. Like he was throwing stuff out.
What was the trade?
Did you?
No,
just
there's no official trade, but there was a lot of.
He offered you Michael Harris for him.
No. It would be like Strider, Harris, and then maybe more.
For Julio?
But again, you can only.
I do that in a heartbeat.
Well, listen, I don't know what I'm doing yet, though.
Strider could be the best. Chris is all worried about Strider getting Tommy John at some point. Strider could be like,
because he's going to get Tommy John.
But Strider could easily strike out over 2,000 guys over the next 10 years. That wouldn't be bad to have.
He could easily get Tommy John this summer.
Julio, you got to realize, I didn't know who Spencer Strider or Julio Rodriguez was 14 days ago. You know what I mean? I need to.
I'm going to tell you right now. Hold on to J-Rod. There's not a pitcher worth J-Rod. It's like me sending Mookie for Strider would be stupid. It's stupid. Don't listen to it. Stupid. Yeah, listen, you can pick up pitchers anytime. They get hurt, they're up and down.
That's what I thought. Like the keepers seem to be the position players.
Yeah, except for this year where we got F'd by the people auto drafting. It's some of the bitches.
What does that mean? No, Kevin's right. The keepers are position players just because there's not that many like elite pitchers.
Elite players. Did you know like the first four picks? Three of the first four picks in the draft, pitcher wise, were three of guys who were on my roster last year. That's annoying me.
Who were they?
Lopez, Webb, and Valdez. I had all three of them last year. Two smart management.
But you didn't win, right? You didn't win. Last year? No, don't go there.
I had the dream team. I scored the most points ever in fantasy baseball, and Jack scored the second most points ever.
My team was better than yours.
No, it wasn't. Okay. Yeah, it was. Kevin, we'll let you go in a minute. Anything else? Anything else, Kev? Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
It's great to be back. I will say, I thoroughly enjoyed Amanda. On the episode last week, you know, apparently Jack, you said something like you were saying that Jack like was holding the grudge and didn't want to go on. I thought Amanda did tremendous. I thought it was the best episode yet.
Okay, this is the best episode. This is, you know what, Kevin, we're at 33 now.
I still think the best episode.
You didn't get Tommy T on for 33?
Oh, shit. This is 32 and a half then. We'll get Tom. Because he was texting me this morning, Tommy T, or yesterday.
No, this has to be 32 and a half.
Okay. All right. I didn't even think about 33.
No, wow. That is Kevin 33 with Tommy T.
Oh my God. Oh my what God, did you nothing. Say? Now my brain's going to explode. All right.
You know, Kevin has one more thing. You said you had a pick.
Oh, yeah. Pick the click.
Oh, based off of intel from one of Miami Hurricanes' biggest fans, I do have a lock of the week about the third or fourth week of the college football season, which is only about 5 months away. I'm not going to give it out yet, but I already have my lock for that.
All right, give me who's winning the World Series baseball. Then we'll let you go.
The Orioles.
Cool. Let's stick with the Dodgers, Jack, because Mookie's on the Dodgers.
Why didn't I keep Michael Harris over Corbin Burns? The Orioles are going to win the World Series.
All right, Kev. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right. Now see you guys.
Zoom, if we're not if we ever get back in the studio, we can Zoom too in the studio. So we'll get you guys on.
Or we could just have him call in, or I don't know.
He can Zoom in.
Yeah, but then he calls in. He calls in like he's Shaughnessy.
Yes. All right. All right, Kevin. It was good having you on.
All right. See you guys.
See ya. Okay, Jack. As we finish up, this is completely, again, my brain is working a weird way today. Remember you asked me a question about LeBron and living up to the hype? Remember, was that the question you asked me?
Well, no, I compared it to Caitlin Clark's game. Oh, yeah. What athlete has lived up to the hype? Like, what, like, team, like, amateur athlete has lived up to crazy hype? I think you're going to say Tiger, aren't you?
No.
That's another
Griffey Jr.
Okay. Sure, yeah.
I just thought of that today for some other reason. I remember we had a discussion. I saw a commercial with Ken Griffey Jr. in it, and I said, he is one who was number one pick, big hype. A-Rod's another one who was huge hype as an amateur.
I like A-Rod, yeah. I like that.
So, and then you're right. I understand with your Kate Clark. So we'll go into the Final Four weekend this weekend with our picks. I got UConn and Purdue in the final, just like you. We probably have the same. I think South Carolina's going to win. You got Iowa, right? Any last things you've got found on the big Twitter machine before we go?
No, I got not. The Twitter machine. Let's check the Celtics score while we're at it. They're playing the Thunder tonight. Right, the Thunder aren't playing like their two best players. The Celtics are up 61-47 at halftime. What a joke.
It's over. It's a joke. And your Kansas City guy won. Kansas City won for you. So, hey, it's a Wednesday night. It's pouring rain. I'll run quick shout out. Wilmington High School baseball varsity team won 1-0 over Winchester. Good to beat the big schools. We're off to a right start. Junior Aiden Balter and senior Noah Spencer shut them out. So we're looking forward. We're supposed to play tonight in Arlington. We didn't. Next game will be Monday against Lexington, who was a tough school to beat. So we'll keep you updated on them all year as well, because then those kids will listen to our show if we do that. So Jack, for Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle, and for It All Boils Down to This, we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.